This is On the Tee, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Now here's your host, Anita Marks, on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to On the Tee, the next hour, all golf talk for you. If you're on your way to the club or the course, we'll keep you company for the next hour. On the Tee, and then at 9 o'clock, my regular show kicks off, whatever that means. and obviously, a lot of Jets and Giants talk as the Jets and Giants had their first preseason game. I'm sure Jets fans are feel pretty good about what we saw from Zach Wilson last night. We'll dive into that. Rich Cimini, who always does a phenomenal job covering the Jets for ESPN, is going to join us at 9:30. And then we'll get into some Yankees and Mets talk. Yankees, Joey Gallo pulls another one out for the Yankees. Thank God that lineup is proving me wrong based on my philosophy in how you win in Major League Baseball. So we'll dive into the Yankees. We'll dive into the Mets. Unfortunately, they lose another game to the Dodgers in extra innings. So that's disappointing. And then we have Brandon Cuddy, who's going to be joining us. He covers the Yankees on NJ.com. Also, Cynthia Freeland making another appearance. She'll be joining us every Saturday, by the way, throughout the NFL season. She has for the last few years. So I'm excited to get her on, and also really excited for her as well. It was announced she's going to be a part of the Buffalo Bills broadcast team along with her duties at NFL.com. So I'm excited to talk to her there because my Super Bowl matchup is the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. So I think the Bills are going to make some noise this NFL season. So I'm excited that Cynthia will be a part of that team, and we'll have her on every Saturday. And therefore, we'll get the good nuggets, which will be great. And of course, you as always, 800-919-3776. But this is a golf show. So this is a very interesting tournament. This is going to be a very interesting afternoon for a number of reasons. We're talking about the Wyndham Championship taking place in Greensboro, North Carolina. By the way, as always, John Mascari joining us in about 10 minutes. Christina Thompson with a little LPGA update. We've got a huge LPGA event that's going to be taking place here in our own backyard in October, and we're going to be giving away tickets this show as well. So stay tuned for that this hour. So a few things. Number one, Wyndham Championship happening right now. They had to move up the tee times. It's unfortunate because I always, I always like to kind of give you the guys that I like to wager on. I feel like you win more money betting on guys to finish in the top 40, top 30, top 20, top 10, top 5 than you do like who's going to win it. And this has been a difficult year. I'm not going to lie. This is probably my worst year predicting winners, quote unquote. But I have had a lot of success in regard to top 5, top 10, top 20 finishes. So, but unfortunately, those bets are off the board now because the fourth round has already started. Bad weather conditions expected in North Carolina. So not only did they start the tournament early, tee times, of course, but also now you've got pairings of three, so you've got three balls going on as opposed to two. Just trying to finish this tournament before the bad weather does make its way to North Carolina. So what's still on the board right now is who you predict to win this, and we'll dive into that, and that will continue to be on the board, and those odds will change as we get closer to the top of the leaderboard and those guys teeing off. And I want to bring that up right now so you know. So it's 8:06 a.m. right now. The guys that are in contention that potentially could win this whole thing. One guy that I'm just going to put a dollar on because I like the way that he's been playing, and that's Brendan Todd. He's 9 under. He's tied for 6. I know he's way back. It's 70-1. I'm going to throw some coin on him. I like the way that he's been playing. He tees off at 8:15. But realistically, who is in contention to win this? Henley, does he go wire to wire? I've got some interesting stats in that regard. A guy that I think can really challenge Henley, and I'm going to put some coin on as well, and he's 12-1, and that's Kevin Na. He's 11 under. He's tied for third, 68 on Thursday, 64. Wow, impressive. 64 on Friday and shot a 67 yesterday. That is the one guy right now. Henley, -120 to win, to go wire to wire. He will be the first golfer this season to do so has not been done this season. But I'm also going to put some coin on Kevin Na. I do like Kisner as well, tied for third, 11 under, shot a 66 yesterday. Maybe I'll put a little coin on that. A lot of people, the chalk coming in was Webb Simpson. He's 10 under. He's tied for ninth, so he's five shots back. He's 16 to 1. Justin Rose as well is 10 under. He tees off at 839. He shot a 69 yesterday. He's 30 to 1. You also have Adam Scott, who's an interesting play at 35 to 1. He's five shots back as well. So some of the guys that, those are some of the guys that I think potentially could make a big run today if Henley does struggle and could challenge him, maybe force a playoff, who knows. So I'm looking at Adam Scott, 35 to 1, Justin Rose, 30 to 1, Webb, he was chalk coming in, he's now five shots back. He named his daughter Wyndham because he loves this track and he loves this tournament so much. You can get him at 16 to 1, but I think the best value in the way that this guy's been playing, Kevin Na, he's 11 under, he's tied for third, so he's four shots back, and you could get him at 12 to 1. There's quite a few people. David Behrman, who is a guest on my gambling show every Friday night, Week in Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. He likes Kisner. He talked about Kisner on Friday night when I had him on. He's 12 to 1. Again, he's just four shots back. But if you feel that Henley's going to go wire to wire, it's minus 120. And he's got a three-shot lead on the field right now. Let me bring you up to speed on what has happened so far today. Like I said, tee times were moved up to 7 a.m., so we're already an hour and 10 minutes into play. Straka is 4 under through 4, so he's 10 under right now, so he's tied for ninth. Some other guys, Aaron Weiss, 1 under through 3, CT Pan, 1 under through 2, Matt Kuchar, who's definitely had to make some noise this tournament to make sure that he could get a spot in the FedEx Cup, the best 125, teeing up here next week, which is going to be exciting. I'm going to give you some information on that because we're going to be broadcasting live from the Northern Trust. Really excited about that. He's 1 under through 4. Russell Knox, 1 under through 5. Bubba Watson, 1 under through 1. Some other guys. Who's not doing well? Huh? Let's not talk about it. But really, the guys in contention are the ones that I just mentioned. And here's some information for you. On the PGA Tour in 2021, three players have led a tournament for each of the first three rounds, and none of them have won. Like I said, if Henley wins, he will be the first wire-to-wire player all season long. Harris English couldn't hold on last week in Memphis. Louis O fell to Colin Morikawa at the Open Championship. And that's just, you know, Louis has just been the bridesmaid pretty much his entire life here on American soil. Sam Burns, on Sunday, he failed at the Genesis Invitational. So Henley can break this mini streak, or let's call it a mini curse, and he'll take a chance at what he can do. He's been playing phenomenal golf all summer. Since June, he leads the tour in strokes gained tee to green, and he's just been sensational. On the PGA Tour since 1996, 48 players have held a four-stroke lead, and 20 of them, that's only 41.7%, went on to win. I'm going to read that stat to you again. On the PGA Tour since 1996, 48 players have held a four-stroke lead, and only 20 of them, 41.7%, went on to win. Again, Henley, minus 120 if you think he'll do it. So, 800-919-3776 if you want to get on the line. You've got some thoughts on Henley. Now's the time to do it. I want to read this clip from an article I read this morning prior to coming on. Henley is definitely a different player in the third round. This was yesterday, of course, as he struggled to break par and was really searching for his game throughout the round. It's concerning because he lost strokes both on approach and on the greens. And those are the two categories that have been most important to win here on this track. Those were two areas where he was the most successful in his first two rounds. And the positive, obviously, is even though he did struggle on approach and putting, He was still able to survive his worst round without giving up the lead. And again, he has a 3-stroke lead on everybody else. So with that being said, this is what we're going to do. Before we take a break, I do want to bring you up to speed on the fact that we are going to be at the Northern Trust. This is why this tournament is so important. The top 125 guys are playing today to try to make it into the top 125 in order to accumulate more points. So they will be invited to come here to New Jersey, Jersey City at Liberty National to participate in the Northern Trust. So don't miss your chance to see the world's top ranked PGA Tour players in action when they return to Liberty National Golf Course for the Northern Trust, the first event in golf's season-ending tournament, the playoffs, held August 18th through the 22nd in Jersey City. Be listening later in this hour for a chance to score a pair of tickets for the Saturday round to see big names, again, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau. Hopefully he gets paired up with Brooks Koepka. How fun would that be? And many more. You can even swing by the beer garden near the 15th green to see me. I'll be broadcasting live from there noon to 3. Good thing I'm not in the wine garden. I'm going to be in the beer garden. So we're all safe. It's all brought to you by the Northern Trust. Secure your tickets at northerntrust.com. Another thing I'm really excited about, DraftKings is going to have a tent out there. So you'll be able to gamble live action. How fun is that going to be? Oh, words cannot explain or express how excited I am about next weekend, about next Saturday. You have no idea. I'm over the moon.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink. Ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
Getting you ready for the final round, and it's already in process at the Wyndham Championship. And we just heard from Russell Henley. Could he be the first golfer this season to go wire to wire? Without further ado, John Mascari joins us here, head pro at Alpine Country Club. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm well, Anita. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I just want to immediately get your thoughts. I mean, I think it's pretty remarkable that, you know, we've had three previous contenders who had an opportunity to go wire to wire. Harris English couldn't do it. Louis O couldn't do it. Sam Burns couldn't do it. Do you feel that Russell Henley could do it today?
Well, I think, you know, leading up to me getting on the air, you heard him talk about he really felt like he didn't have his A game yesterday. He didn't really hit it well, let's be completely honest. At least he got under par and has a 3-shot lead. Not bad, considering. But he lost a stroke on approach, which is something that it's usually a metric that's really good in and he's strong with. Don't do that again today, Russell. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys lurking right behind you. And let's be honest, he does have a history of not playing well on Sunday. He has like a little bit of a Sunday stumbles. You know, remember that 76 at the U.S. Open, he had a share of the lead coming into Sunday as well. But and I think if he's not as aggressive as he normally is, he tends to be a little aggressive, goes pin hunting. If he just goes for center of greens and plays the course as it's put in front of him, plays smarter, I think he'll be okay. But I do think there's blood in the water and there's a few guys lurking just behind that could certainly post a number to make him a little bit concerned coming home.
I love when you say there's blood in the water. You're absolutely right. So McCumber is right behind him at 3 shots back, but he's missed 5 consecutive cuts coming into this week and has only had 1 top 20 finish. So I'm taking him out of the equation. Grace, someone that has made it happen for 54 holes, but all of his strokes this week have been around the green. And he has struggled off the tee, so I'm fading him. There's one guy that I am eyeing, and that is Kevin Na. That I think that's the guy that Henley needs to be fearful of today, who especially if his putter gets hot. I mean, listen, Kevin Na is tied for third, 11 under. He's 4 shots back, and his putter has not been a typical vintage Kevin Na putter for the first 3 rounds. If it gets hot today, watch out. Who's the one player that you're eyeing? Henley is minus 120 to win this thing. You know me, I like plus money. Kevin Na is 12-1. Who is a guy that you feel is in striking distance that you have your eye on, that you put some money on, John?
The one I thought we were going to actually agree for a second when you said Kevin, but then when you said Nah, I'm looking at Kisner, who's also 12-1, I think he's a great value pick. He's playing fantastic golf. Shot 4 under yesterday. He's at that 11 number. which is, I know it's four back of the lead, but I still think that's within striking distance. And he's having a great season, and I think he wants to make one last push, especially for the Ryder Cup team, to be in consideration for that. And here's an opportunity for him to tell Captain Steve Stricker that I should be on this team with my finish on Sunday.
What about Adam Scott? Now, he's 10 under, so he's five shots back. And, man, his irons have just been spot on. He's gained almost three shots on approach on Saturday. And also with his putter as well, he's gained two strokes on the field with his putter, shot a 64 on Saturday. Thoughts on, and by the way, what are those odds on Adam Scott? 35-1. 35-1. Thoughts on Adam Scott?
Yeah, tremendous ball striker his entire career, but he has always been dictated by the putter. So, you know, he swings as the putter swings. So you saw him putt great yesterday. If he has another great round like that, certainly in contention. My opinion, still maybe a little bit back, and a lot of people, a lot of real estate between him and the leader, a lot of players in that 11, 12 under number. But nice to see Adam Scott continuing to play well and have a tie for ninth coming into Sunday.
Again, John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You're listening to On the Tee with you until 9 o'clock, and then we'll dive into some Jets talk for sure, and Giants. But Giants didn't start any of their starters last night, and really the big story is Zach Wilson, let's be honest. All right, you mentioned the FedEx Cup, and again, for folks that are listening, you might not be like uber golf enthusiast. The reason why this tournament, Wyndham, is so important is because golfers who are playing today are trying to better their finish because they get a certain number of points. And then at the end of the year, at the end of this tournament, those points are calculated in the top 125 who've accumulated the most points based on, you know, where they finished throughout the season in each and every tournament that they have teed up in. They then, the top 125, get invited here next week to Liberty National, New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey, to play in the Northern Trust, the top 125 in the world. And by the way, we're going to be out there on Saturday, noon to 3, I'll be broadcasting. So really excited about it. John's going to pop out. Christina Thompson's going to pop out. We've got a lot of people who we're quite friendly with in the golf industry who are going to pop out. Really excited about it. But here's the thing. I'm going to list for you a number of guys that need to better their situation in order to get invited next week to the Northern Trust. Scott Piercy, Rory Sabatini, Justin Rose, Matt Kuchar, Adam Scott, Roger Sloan, Tommy Fleetwood, a few guys that unfortunately missed the cut and now very well could be uninvited from the Northern Trust. Ryan Armour, Patrick Rogers, Dylan Fratilli, just to name a few. And then not to mention, I mean, listen, I'm burying the lead here. I mean, Ricky freaking Fowler. So, but, you know, who are some of the guys that I just mentioned? You know, talk about the pressure that these guys, now granted, they're out of contention to win, but again, if they finish in the top 20, top 10, top 5, they accumulate more points and they'll be able to tee it up here next weekend. What is that pressure like, John?
Yeah, sure. This is a different kind of nerves, right? This is your season on the line. And a few of the guys that you mentioned, and I'll start with Justin Rose, who's coming in was 138th on the list. He has to get into the top 8 to get to 125, and he's right now tied for 9th. So you look at someone who's still in the hunt for the win today, but also he's got almost like a side game going where he has to kind of know where he stands, not only from the top, but also for the top 8. He has to get into the 8th position, otherwise that's it. You talk about Rory Sabatini, the silver medalist at the recent Olympics in Tokyo. He needs a top 5 to get in. So he needs a big Sunday coming up as well. And I think you mentioned Matt Kuchar, who was, he's right on the bubble, 124. He needed to make a bogey putt on 18 to stay at 124. So think about, you know, it's a putt for bogey, but boy, it means so much more. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm going to pose this question to you, Anita. If you're playing golf, do you want to know where you're at as you're playing? Do you want to know, hey,
no. Nope.
And now you're at 125. Nope. Now you're at 127.
And nope. And this is why I do not keep score. I make sure whoever I'm playing with, and you know me, I gamble all the time. I'm like, you somebody else keep score. Who's got the scorecard? You keep it. I don't want to know. I don't. Now, you know, of course, I always like at the end of every hole, I'm like, all right, I got a stroke there, right? So I won the hole, right? Like, so. I got a stroke there, right? So I won the hole, right? So you know, obviously I want to know hole to hole if I won that hole because there's money involved. But broader picture, big picture, I don't want to know until we finish the round. We sit down, we're on the 19th hole, we're having a nice cocktail, and I say, okay, can you please add up the card? What did I shoot? And then, of course, when they come back and they say, oh, you shot a 78, then I'm like, drinks for everybody. So to answer your question, no, I don't want to know. And that's why I don't keep a scorecard. Yeah,
I do. I would want to know because I'm going to base my decision-making on the golf course based on what I have to do. If I know that I'm on a par 5 and I think I can get home here, but I need to make at least birdie on the next 3 of the next 8 holes, I'm going to play a different aggressive game. But if I know that, hey, you know what, John, you're comfortably in, just make par, or maybe shoot one under on these last few holes, I'm going to choose different clubs to hit, different clubs off the tee, different approaches, hit to different spots of the green, because I have to make it to next weekend. I want to go to New Jersey. Now, who says that besides people that live in New Jersey?
Tony Soprano,
I
want
to get to New Jersey. Give me an and I'm not going to pull driver on the 18th tee where there's water in play, or I'm going to maybe hit a 3 because I'm going to be conservative. So I would want to know. I would exactly want to know where I stood as I'm playing, especially in this scenario, especially here.
Before I let you go, you mentioned the Ryder Cup and guys that are trying to impress Steve Stricker because, you know, he has those quote-unquote at-large decisions to make. And I know the big storyline is going to be, does he pick Phil Mickelson? Because Phil won a major this year. There's so much more that Phil brings to that team beyond just his golfing skills, but just as, you know, a great teammate. Who do you think some of the at-large picks are going to be for Stricker this year? How do you see this team rounding out, John?
This is obviously one of the toughest and least favorite things that Steve Stricker is going to have to do. Having 6 selections, I think, is a blessing and a curse, right? Because he can really mold the team however he feels. He can put the personalities that he wants to put on the team with and really tailor it to the golf course. Obviously, Morikawa, DJ, DeChambeau, Kepka, JT, and Xander, I think, are pretty much locks. I would also put Jordan Spieth, even though he's not officially a lock. The season he's having, he's on the team. And then you've got to look at guys like Patrick Reed, Harris English, Cantlay, Berger, Tony Finau, Webb Simpson, and the aforementioned Kevin Kisner. Those are, I think, the field he can really pull. He's going to take 5 of those guys. As far as Phil, obviously he made history at the PGA Championship at Kiawah. The PGA of America runs that event. The PGA of America also runs the Ryder Cup. It'd be pretty nice to have your PGA champion on the Ryder Cup team. But Phil hasn't been playing that well of late. And I think he was quoted by saying he hasn't had a top 10 outside of the PGA. And you can't take someone who's that inconsistent. So let's see if, you know, the tradition continues of the PGA champion being on the Ryder Cup team. I don't think it's a big deal. I think Phil is a gamer. He will find his game if he's picked on that team. I think the crowd would love it. I think it'd be a big boost to the team as well from a veteran standpoint. But I also think he's kind of giving Stricker an out here by not playing well and not being as consistent as he should be.
John, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I'm sure it'll be a nice day out there at Alpine Country Club, and looking forward to the Northern Trust next week. And again, folks, just a reminder, we'll be out there on Saturday. John, thank you so much.
Yep, can't wait. Play well, everyone, today. Enjoy the day.
You got it. Justin Rose, again, he is 10 under, and so he's 5 shots back. He tees off any second now. 66 on Thursday, 65 on Friday, and a 69 yesterday. Yeah, he needs that putter to work. He's 5 shots back. He needs to do something. Where do we stand right now? Again, this tournament kicked off at 7 a.m. They moved the tee times up, and guys are playing in 3 balls, 3 guys, as opposed to 2. to try to get this tournament in and over before the torrential rain that is expected to hit North Carolina today. Straka is 4-under through 5. Aaron Weiss, 3-under through 5 as well. Chris Kirk, keep an eye on him. He's 2-under through 3. He's 10-under total, so he's 5 shots back. I liked him coming in. I played him in a lot of DFS. So it looks like he's making a move. Already 2-under through 3. Some other guys that have done well. Russell Knox, 2-under through 6. Denny McCarthy, 1-under through 5. That's another guy. His putter has been hot the last few months, so I played him in a lot of DFS. And I love that Matt Kuchar's making a move here as well. Would love to see him get into the FedEx Cup. And as I shared with John Mascari just a second ago, some of the guys that need to play well today in order to get into the FedEx Cup and be invited here to New Jersey next week, Scott Piercy, Rory Sabatini, Justin Rose, Kuchar, Adam Scott, Roger Sloan, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, just to name a few. And how difficult, let me, and by the way, Ty is producing the show. Ty, welcome in. How you doing?
Hello, how we doing?
Hi. I missed you yesterday. Not that Jacob and Jake don't do a phenomenal job, but, you know, like, you're my weekend partner. So
you just like me better.
Okay. Let's be nice. So Ty, I know you're not a big golfer. I know your father-in-law is, and hopefully he listens to the show.
He does. But, big fan of the show.
Well, that's nice. But and a new grandpa.
He is.
You
might be his favorite host on the station, he tells me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hope Tim McCarthy and Ryan are listening.
Let's hope so. They're always listening.
That's they are always, you and I are always getting text,
yeah,
messages.
Get text messages.
But here's the thing. We get text messages when we screw up. No, that's not true. I take that back. Ryan sent me, and I filled in for Chris Carlin on Friday night. I had a jam-packed show. We had, you know, Ed Werder called in. We had really good guests. Ryan texted me, said, good job. I take that back, Ryan.
Nice.
I take that back. I'm sorry. Okay. Here's my question to you. I know that you're not an avid golfer, but here's what's interesting about this tournament. Now, you had a lot of guys like Ryan Armour, Patrick Rogers, Dylan Fratilli. You had them that when they came into this tournament, they had qualified for the Northern Trust. They had qualified for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Unfortunately, they missed the cut. So now they are home. So Armour, who missed the cut, fell from 120, you got to be the top 25. So right now, he fell out of the 122, and based on how this leaderboard is panning out, he's projected to be 127. Patrick Rogers slipped from 123, he's projected to be 128. And Dylan was 123, and I'm sorry, he's still hanging on at 123. He was 115 when this tournament started. He's hanging on at 123. Again, depending on how this tournament pans out and who finishes where, he very well could be on the outside looking in. How difficult? You think it's more difficult to be a golfer who's competing, who's trying to finish higher so that they can get the points and get in, like you are in control of your own narrative, or these three golfers plus others that are home right now watching this tournament and there's nothing they can do?
Oh, that is a phenomenal question. To be home.
What would you, like, you know me, you know my personality. Like, I want to be teeing it up. I want to control my own narrative. Like, I'm
so
out there.
Yeah, I think you want to be in control of your own destiny. Like, it's similar to, you know, just to make it like a, you know, week 17 in the NFL, you know, that whatever that game that gets flexed to the night, you're sitting home watching two teams control your destiny as opposed to you being involved in that game. You want to be the one that's involved in the game. So I think it would be tougher just sitting on your couch. Like, do you even watch, or do you, like, just, you know, wait for the updates? It's nerve-wracking. So
That's an even better question, though, Ty, is that if you miss the cut, are you even watching? Or are you just like, you know, you're planning a day with your family, you're doing something to take your mind off of this tournament, and it's out of your control, right?
Yeah,
like, there's nothing you can do. Like, you'll tune in, you'll find out what the results are at the end of the day, and there's nothing you can do about it. So why sit there and grind and churn
put
over
yourself
it.
Through that misery. Similarly, though, and I think this is an analogy you'll appreciate. Are you familiar with the no run first inning in gambling?
Yes. Yeah.
In baseball, so you bet.
Right.
That
right. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Runs
no runs in the first inning. Right.
So
right.
If I ever place a wager on a no run first inning, I always struggle with: do I watch the first inning, or do I just like go away from my phone and come back 20 minutes later and then check? Because one of my friends, he says, like, just put your phone down, go away, don't watch, don't pay attention to it.
But here, see, this is interesting that you say this, because, you know, when I, you know, I host the gambling show here on 98 Point, or one of them, because Joe Wiz has a show as well. But shout out Joe Wiz. But we can wager. And so, you know, I get callers who call in are like, Anita, you got a problem. I don't have a problem. I gamble wisely. And I always tell people, gamble what you could afford to lose, because more times than not, you will lose. And so the way that I look at gambling is paying the price for added entertainment. What do I mean by that? If I got money on a game, like, for example, let's take your example. If I got money that there's not going to be a score, it's not going to be a run in the first inning, I'm paying so that I can watch that. It's interesting that you're saying that you're gambling and you're going to turn off your phone, you're going to turn off your TV, and you don't want to. To me, I am gambling on it, because the excitement of watching that first inning is what I'm spending my money on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It does.
So, you know, so that's my definition of gambling. And I understand. And again, if somebody has a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER, please. I know it's serious. And we have to mention it, but you know, that's how I look at gambling, is that it's paying the price for an added involvement, added entertainment, because you have money on the outcome. But again, and I don't think people realize this, a successful handicapper ends the season, let's say the football season, right? A successful handicapper ends the season at 52-54%. I don't think people realize that.
You're barely making it.
Right. So like if a handicapper finishes the season at 58% tie, that's tremendous. Like you typically lose more than you win. And I just, you know, people need to understand that, you know, it's not easy. There's a reason why the odds makers are the most intelligent people in the world. You know, because there's a reason, you know, and there's a reason why a game, it's so funny, a game finishes, right? Like Giants -2.5 and they lose by 2, or they win by 2. You know what I mean? It's just like, how did they know that? They know. And there's a reason why the most intelligent people are odds makers. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that it kind of makes you question the point in any of this. It's just it has to be the thrill, because if at your best you're only hitting at a 52% clip, you're right above breaking even. What's the point? That there's more risk than reward.
Because you want to be the outlier.
You
want to be the outlier. You want to finish. You want to be the one guy who finishes at like 60-65% winning percentage at the end of the football season,
but the numbers,
or the end of the golf season.
The numbers would suggest that it's highly unlikely for that to happen.
Yeah, but you know, we all want to believe that, you know, we're the outlier, that we're better than most. So interesting. Anyway, hey, we've got another giveaway for you. Here's your shot to win a 4-pack of any day ground passes to the LPGA's Cognizant Founders Cup at Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey, October 6th through October 10th. Okay? This is great. A 4-pack, and it's courtesy of Belvedere Vodka, made with nature for a perfect pairing. Belvedere, a proud sponsor partner of the Cognizant Founders Cup. Always enjoy responsibly. I love that it's a vodka sponsor, because I know about you, when I'm on the course, whether I turn 9, it's hot out there, or I'm on the 19th hole, man, I love my transfusion, and I always ask for Belvedere Vodka. So I'm thrilled that they're on board right now. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to win, again, all courtesy of Belvedere Vodka, made with nature for a perfect pairing. Belvedere is a proud partner of the Cognizant Founders Cup. Always enjoy responsibly. 888-987-ESPN, October 6th through the 10th, 4-pack, any day ground passes. Go support the women, the country club, Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey. Adam Scott, that was him. 10 under. He's 5 back. He tees off. Well, he teed off about 4 minutes ago. 66 on Thursday, 70 on Friday. That's a shame. And 64 yesterday. So we'll see what happens. Without further ado, it's time now for our LPGA update brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Christina Thompson joining us. Golf for Her CEO extraordinaire. I always say you want to look good while you're teeing it up because then you always play better. Christina, good morning. Hi.
Good morning, Anita. Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
Happy it's Sunday. Enjoying the weekend. Ready for the final round of the Women's Scottish Open right now. So,
all right, let's break it down. Where does everything stand? What's the time difference? How much time do our listeners have to get online and put their wagers in? Because you've been crushing it all season long with your Nelly Korda winning the gold medal. Thank you very much. Mama bought a new pair of shoes. So kind of break it down for us. Who do you like and what time do they tee off? Our time, all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, right now the ladies are actually out there right now. So they're playing at the new Dumbarney Links course, which is a little south of St. Andrews. So they're all out there on the course right now. I think we're going to be able to watch it about 9 a.m. this morning. So everyone tune in, watch the ladies, support it. I think too late to put wagers in, so hopefully they've been listening to us all week where we've been sharing all the tips on who to pick. But where we stand right now is we have Aria Jutanagarn. She's the 36-hole leader. She is joined by England's Charlie Hull and American Ryan O'Toole in a tie at the top at 9 under. Aria, she held a 3-stroke lead at the start of the day but ended it with 5 birdies, 3 bogeys, and a double on number 10. But with a win today, she will join Nelly Korda with 3 wins this season and become the second 2-time champion of the Women's Scottish Open, joining a player like Katarina Matthews, who did it back in 2011 and 2013. But Charlie Hull, she is searching for her second LPGA Tour win. Her first win was, and her only win was back in 2016 when she won the CME Championship, but she carded 3 consecutive 69. So, you know, she's looking to be able to, you know, gain some more space there at the leaderboard and get her first win. But I like Ryan O'Toole. You know, she's looking to become the 6th first-time Rolex, you know, winner this season, and she's never won on tour yet. She's always been in contention, and I'm just hoping that she's able to pull it together and get her first win. But other notable names to watch this week are today is Anna Nordqvist. She's 6 under. Lydia Ko, fresh off her bronze medal win at the Olympics, is 5 under. And golf for her ambassador, Marina Alex, 5 under. So they all have a shot at chipping away at the lead this afternoon. So, I'd love to see Ryan O'Toole pull off the win. I know she's been out there for a long time on tour. If I had to pick a winner today, I have to stick with Aria. Aria is hot, and if she can keep her putter rolling, I think she's gonna get that win this afternoon. But what's interesting is that, you know, there's only 500 invited spectators today at the golf course. And, it's just interesting because if you remember, there was over 30,000 fans when they watched the guys play at Royal St. Andrews for the Open. And, you know, it's a smaller crowd out there. So, you know, fortunately, the entire tournament is going to be aired so everyone can tune in and watch because this golf course is sick. It's gorgeous. It's brand new. It has 14 of the holes have views of the Bay of Firth of Forth. So, you know, a lot of wind, a lot of, you know, difficult holes for the ladies to play, but it's geared up to deliver us some really spectacular golf this afternoon. So keep supporting the ladies. Tune in to golf this afternoon and start watching.
Quick note here, you know, BetMGM has teamed up with the LPGA as being like the main sports book to offer odds for the women in the women's tournament. And I believe as the tournament progresses, those odds change. So you still might be able to gamble on the ladies, even though the tournament has already begun, on BetMGM. So just check it out. I could be wrong, but I could be right. And if I am, Christina has been spot on all year long with her LPGA picks. So check that out. Before I let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on the tournament today, but also we're giving away a 4-pack to the to Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey, October 6th through the 10th for that tournament. So what the LPGA's Cognizant Founders Cup, what I'm assuming I know you're going to be out there. What do you know about this tournament? What do you know about this track? Have you been there before?
Yeah, so I've had the opportunity to play the golf course in the past. It's a beautiful course right in, you know, North Jersey out in Caldwell, not far from where our office is. The tournament is a special tournament. It's the Founders Cup. It is, you know, it's been in Arizona for the last several years, and we have a new sponsor who is located here in New Jersey, so the tournament has moved here. The top tour players are going to be all local. It is a fantastic tournament because it's the one tournament that is dedicated to the actual founders, the 13 founders of the LPGA. So you all have some of the original living. There's only, like, I think, three left living founders of the LPGA that will be there. But it's a very special tournament. It really, you know, it for us females who are out there playing golf, we get to be in the golf industry like myself and yourself and get to talk about golf and play golf. This is really the tournament that I encourage most women to come out to. So if you're going to go to a tournament this year, please come to the Founders Cup this year, because it's because of these women. They're pioneers in the sport. They put together the LPGA and created, you know, opportunities for women to play professionally, amateurly, and, you know, and enjoy the recreation of the game. So there's a lot of special, but the course is spectacularly beautiful, and it's an opportunity to see a course that, you know, it's a private club. You don't get to get into, you know, behind the gates on these clubs. So come on out and check it out. But we'll be doing some special events. So follow Golf for Her on all our social, because we're doing some VIP experiences during that week with Marina, Alex, and some of the other players. So some special things happening all around North Jersey. A couple in just about 2 months, beginning
fantastic.
Of October. Oh my gosh, it's almost October.
Yeah, it's going to be here before we know it. Really quick, I'm up against a break. Who you got winning this thing? Do you think Henley goes wire to wire, or is there somebody else you're eyeing?
I like Brandon Grace. I like him. He's hit 13 of the 18 greens the other day. He didn't miss anything within 10 feet. Brandon Grace for the win.
All right. So Christina Thompson says Brandon Grace. John Mascari says Kisner. I say Kevin Na. If there's somebody that's going to really unseat Henley, who is at 15 under right now, he tees off at 9-12. Christina, love you, my friend. Enjoy your Sunday fun day. Take care.
All right, thanks, everyone.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. On 98.7 ESPN.